new Sean Hartle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade interview segment. The culture is back. My man Rocky Tyrade is in the building. How's it going?
Yeah, what's good, right? Man? What's good?
Doing the whole, like, slapping hands thing.
Yeah, man.
I feel like a real G, man. No, it's great to have you here. Glad you made it out to Vancouver. You're on tour right now. Are you in Seattle?
I'm on the Rocky Road Show tour. And, you know, I'm happy to be in the greater Northwest region. I've always wanted to come out to Vancouver. And then I was presented with the opportunity to be out here, you know, to hop on the good radio waves here. And I was like, why not?
Yeah, why not? If you're coming around, you might as well come.
Might as well, man. Might as well. So the trip's not complete without you saying what's up.
Yeah, to anyone who's listening to this, UBC is really weird today. They've got, like, a horn band. They've got, like, I had to go out and find Rocky because I was like, he's going to get lost. This is not normal.
There was just a lot of just random things going on at the same time. It was like, remember that movie Minority Report when, like, Tom Cruise is, like, in the mall and there's, like, somebody with a, like, balloons.
It was
very, very overwhelming. We made it work.
That's a sick reference. Yeah. I haven't seen Minority Report in years.
Yeah, I probably spent too much time watching movies.
Tom Cruise, though. Never made a bad movie. Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I wanted to start with...
He runs a lot in every movie, if you notice that.
He does. What is this track right here? This is off your new album.
Yes, sir.
The Dichotomy of Rocky Tyrade.
Yeah.
Royale with Cheese. Speaking of movies, this is... you got a video for this out, and it's very Pulp Fiction-esque.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I was going to ask, actually, as my first question, the first thing I saw was this track, and I was listening, and, like, obviously you've got the bars and stuff, and it's, like, very high energy, but you've also got, like, the samples from Pulp Fiction and stuff coming through. So where did the idea for this track come from?
I really don't know. Like, my man Arza from Phoenix is a very talented young producer and whatnot. He shot me the beat, and, you know, it's just... How it works with me is, like, I listen to a beat and I play it in a car and it just starts coming together. But in terms of the spirit of the song, which is, you know, the title comes from the bridge where I do my Samuel Jackson. I yell because that's how I talk. And, you know, I just really thought it was something fly to say and yell at a crowd in the middle of me rapping. And, the title kind of came from that, I guess, because, you know, it's such a just random reference.
Royale with Cheese, it's gotta be. And I mean, it did it get a good reaction live? I'd imagine it does, because it's so hype. And it was one of the singles you released up to the new album Dichotomy of Rocky Tyrade.
Yes, sir.
And I was gonna say, like, how do you, like, choose those beats, though? Because, like, this is a very soulful one, but then you've also got, like, tracks like Kenny Powers on the album, which has a kind
of... Shout out Sly Funk Dust. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I probably just have some issues I need to check into before my next project. It's very, very manic. I call the album Black and White and every shade and nuance of gray in between. And, like, it just finds you. One of the pet peeves is when, you know, I find a producer and then they'll say something like, hey, this sounds like it'll work for you. I like for it to be an organic introduction. It just feels right. There's just something about the beat, something about the snare, something about the sample, if there is one.
Right.
The current tempo that it's at, and most importantly, where I'm at from, you know, a personal standpoint when I hear the beat. So I can't really answer the question per se. It just sounds right, you know?
Yeah, well, you did a good job. Thank you. It does sound right. And I was going to ask, the album's called The Dichotomy, and then on the page you say, like, it's journalistic, romantic, action-packed, comical, political, and real.
Yeah.
And it's like all these things at once. Like, the album starts with The Fire Rises, which is serious, but then the first track you play on Bandcamp is Application, Dedication, Discipline, which has that, like... That intro with the "I think I might need to get a job." What was the kind of? Did you go in thinking, right, let's do a dichotomy, let's do, like, two different things, or did it just kind of come naturally?
Kind of both, because this is, like, the third iteration of the album. You know, like, I initially set forth to make this static, you know, black and white sort of approach, you know, how you had it more akin to, you know, how the Me Versus Me albums, and I just felt like that was done too many times before. So how it ended up, you know, the final version of that came together is just my perspective on life from an introspective sort of standpoint to just the way that I perceive the world and the different feelings that I have at the time, and most importantly, the evolution of myself through the creation of the process of the album and whatnot. So
nice.
Yeah, man.
Nice. I mean, talking to the kind of introspective, more political side, you got tracks on here like Idiot Box, which was like, I remember when I first looked at the album, Idiot Box stood out as like a track title. And then, like, I listened, and I was like, what is he saying? Because you're spitting so fast.
Yeah.
But you're, like, also, like, references to Fox News.
Yeah.
So what was, like, the process of that track? Were you just, like, ranting, or were you just, like,
I remember I got back from South by Southwest, and I was sitting there watching TV at my house, and, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, we're especially, like, speaking for Americans, you know, a lot of us are dependent on what the media tells us, and from our political viewpoints to, you know, just various, you know, like commercials and just like McDonald's and things like that.
Yeah.
It has a very hypnotic approach, you know, TV and whatnot. And I remember this quote from, what's his name, Damon Wayans on the movie Bamboozled, when he had described the television. And it's funny because he actually worked for a company. He worked for a major media corporation, and he was describing this thing in such a, from a demonized point of view, but yet he works for it. And me, it's hard to really be critical of entertainment because I myself am an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know?
You're selling your stuff as well.
Yeah, contributing.
So
it's more of a candid, no holds barred approach to something that I'm very much a part of, and just being real about the realm of entertainment.
Yeah. So. And your whole approach is no holds barred. I was reading another interview with you when you were talking about this thing of Memorap, where you, like, you go in and, like, all your lyrics are in your head. So how did that start? Did you just do that naturally, or was it like you found the best things came off top of the head, or like from mixing up things in your head, or?
Man, I guess the process of that, it does change from time to time, but, you know, basically I think of like a line would formulate in my head, and then you start tinkering with it, and then you find ways to evolve it into the next phrase, or you find other pieces, other phrases and lines and things, and you start constructing them and building an idea around it. And then you go through the process of attaching it together and create it like this cohesive idea.
Nice. So. That's a good way to do it, I think. And like, it feels very free when you hear it on the record. It feels very fresh and stuff. And I imagine that's from it going over your head all over the time.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's like a Rubik's Cube. That's the best way to describe it. You know, you have an idea. You want to figure out a way to make everything work and just from a very harmonious point of view.
Yeah. It's cool. And I mean, what I think is so funny is like, it all blends well perfectly. Like, it's like, you've got the dichotomy on the album, and you've got like a load of lyrics, like a load of fucking bars, but like it all works together really well. So like, no, I'm really enjoying the album, and
thank you.
I'm enjoying seeing you on tour, and you're like, I saw like your Facebook posts, and like, you had your first day off the other day.
Yeah, oh my god, I slept until, I was like, I'm gonna sleep till 1. I woke up and I let in, and I watched Westworld, because
Westworld, yeah. I had not seen that.
Is fucking crazy, because basically, what is it, like a show about like kind of like a theme park but with androids, and it, the way how I take from it is what I take from it is, you know, it's similar to how people like view themselves online, like those online Facebook, Instagram, Twitter personas.
Yeah.
Like, you go there and you just live out your innermost fantasies or how you perceive yourself.
Right.
And it's very telling, you know, like,
It's
something that I definitely recommend checking out.
You know? Nice.
Tirade stamp of approval.
Tirade stamp of approval.
I don't know how I'm going to mold that into some sort of like placement. Maybe I need like Wild West theme song or some shit. Like,
Jim West.
Desperado.
Right now. You don't know. Dude, I'm so glad someone else knows that song, because, like, I remember hearing that, I'm like, this is terrible, but also great.
Yeah, it was a very horrible song, but we all know it.
Yeah.
That peak Cisco era, man.
Dude, Will Smith. Will Smith rapping, my God. Firstly, this song's just about to end, and I finally, over the course of the interview, I finally got a pair of earphones working, so...
He was juggling the entire time.
I was trying to do things, because I got kicked out of one studio, now I'm in another studio.
Making it work, son.
Making it work.
Yes, boy, Hope. You know, you're over here in Vancouver and everything right now, you know.
What is that impression of?
I have no idea. It's a horrible Jay-Z impression.
Oh, it's Jay-Z. Like, of course, Jay-Z, yeah. dude, the next track I wanted to play is a track called Too Cool.
Too Cool. Shout out Mr. Blue out in Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, is that the girl on the song?
Yeah, the vocalist. That's nice.
Because this is weird as well, because, like, I heard this and it's a very rocky beat, like with Kenny Powers. And so you've got, like, some rock tracks, you've got some soul tracks. What are your most favorite tracks to rhyme over? Like, is it the high-paced ones, or is it the more slow, take your time, do some politics stuff?
I'm a man of many personalities, I guess. Whatever works. Like, I guess it's really hard working with producers, because they're like, what do you like? What do you want to hear? And then, like, I spent 5 freaking minutes, like, describing the type of sound that I wanted. And by the time that was done, I was like, I want to get, like, some electronic type beats. I'll be through this. It's crazy, because it's a pet project. It's my first official release, and it really expresses the fact that I am a 90s kid by all definitions, because, you know, I grew up around grunge. I grew up around, obviously, hip-hop. I grew up around, you know, just various types of, you know, like 90s R&B. Like, you know, there's so much you can find throughout my music, sprinkled out throughout my discography and what have you. So I guess something I hold near and dear is just the nasty guitars and rock and roll. You know, like, even though, like, I'm a kid of hip hop, like, you know, you definitely find those elements in there, man. I was definitely influenced by, like, your Rages and your Nirvanas and your Flutes.
Those guys.
So, yeah.
That's cool. Like, I was gonna ask as well, it's so funny, because you blend a lot of elements of music in your style. Like, you've got the grunge, but you've also got, like, some kind of soul samples, some more, like, Hey You has this kind of crazy, like, really hype-up beat, and then you've got the Fire Rises, which has the strings. So you blend a lot of, like, sort of different styles in your beats, and yet you're, like, constantly, like, I think when I first heard your voice, I imagined you as a kind of, like, more gruff Andre 3000.
Thank you, first off, you got a
really, like, skittish flow. Like, you'll do so many flows over a beat, but whereas Andre's got his kind of weird, like, meow inflection, you've got the kind of, like, the gruff, like, roughneck Phoenix sort of type of business going on.
I
wanted to ask about Phoenix in particular. One of the things that's changed about hip-hop so much is the regionalism. Like, now that we've got the internet, you can take parts of Dirty South, you can take, like, East Coast, West Coast, you can listen to it and build it into your style. Would you say your music is, like, a kind of styled by Phoenix, or do you think you take other stuff?
I'm a Californian, born and raised in California.
Oh, yeah.
I migrated to Phoenix.
Right.
Basically around the inception of my music career and what have you. I would say, even still, like, to quote myself, I was like, oh, but I digress. Raised on Snoop and Common Sense, Jay the Roots and Nas and M, the Jay the Groove Roots, you know, like, Trap Quest. Yeah,
all right.
You know, like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, like I said, I'm a 90s kid, so, you know, I didn't even realize that the type of lyricism I do is mostly found within, like, the southwestern part of the United States.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I really love, like, those sample-heavy, you know, like, hip-hop that you found in the 90s out in the East Coast. You know, like, one of my favorite beats is like, your Nas's likes, you know, Primo, you know, like, NY State of Mind Part 2. God Lives Through, like, the Tribe. But, oh, my God.
I was trying. I was, like, going off a memory.
Tribe head over
it's
here.
It's all good. Right? It's all good. Dude, new album, amazing.
Amazing.
Old album. Before I started the interview, I gave Rocky a magazine of CITR Discorders, Elements magazine.
Getting frame satin.
Oh man, that's so good. I'm so glad it's going to a good home.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That was when they released Beats, Rhyme, and Life. But like, they've just released their new album. You just released a new album. Another track I wanted to play was, oh gosh, which one was it? I guess I'll go with Application, Dedication, and Discipline.
Awesome.
Because yeah. This is funny, because it starts with like that kind of, well, in fact, I'll turn it up. I may need a job. See, like, it's got that weird comic intro.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dope, but like, so do you intentionally go in and think, right, I'm going to meld this, and this? Like, because this is like kind of three sections to it. Is that something that comes naturally, or is it something that you like go in with an intent?
It just kind of happened on accident. I wanted to use three beats for a specific idea, and it just happened without me necessarily setting out to create that idea for the song. I mean, even that, like the comedic elements, I'm, you're funny. Like, I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know.
But, you know, in terms of the song, the idea of the song, it started out with me going through the process of grabbing a job. And, you know, then I started prepping for, you know, the first day of work, and then going through it.
Mm.
And, you know, it just kind of formed a broader story. So it's like three different chapters and an overall story about me basically wasting my time doing something that's not music. So.
Damn, yeah. And that speaks to me as well. There's so many times I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
I should be on the radio, but I'm not. So.
It's what we have to do. You know, like I said at the end, you know, plus it funds my career. You know, it, like, one of the most important pieces of advice that, you know, that I would give out to people who aspire to be in entertainment, not just, you know, even if it's not even entertainment, if it's like a form of art or an unorthodox form of, you know, like path, just find something that finances what you love to do, and through that you're more likely to find a way to monetize your dreams. So you have to take those steps. My dad used to say, pay me now, pay me later, but you're gonna pay. So you can either invest that time right now, or you can invest that time later and basically take two steps back and three steps forward.
Okay, I think that's the best thing anyone said on my show. So that's good. Usually people are just like, oh yeah, hip hop, it's cool. But like, that was nice.
Yeah, don't be that kind of like, I need a job. You need a job.
Yeah, everyone needs a job.
You need a job.
Do you have a part-time job that finances your career?
Right now, I'm proud to say I'm finally just strictly on music.
No way.
It's a blessing. It's not easy.
No.
A lot of time driving. A lot of time, like, I like held yell at Wells Fargo earlier today.
Oh God. Damn. Shout out Wells Fargo. Those guys.
Those guys always ending up in the news. But I actually used to work for Wells Fargo.
Oh, wow.
And work for other, you know, just companies here and there, and just applying my pseudo-technical prowess to some other person's dreams.
Yeah.
You have to do what you have to do, though, man.
Yeah.
You know?
You gotta, everyone says, like, oh, it's not about the money. But it's like, well,
kind of is. You know, I'm not saying, like, I don't want to buy, like, a black and white, like, checkered Lamborghini. I would do it. I would.
Well, yeah, of course.
I would take it, you know. If you want to send it to me, I can send you my mailing information.
Mailbox CITR.
Yes.
Yes. Lamborghini. Yeah. No, but like it is all about money at the end of the day, and the best thing you can do is use what you've got and what you have to get to like finance something you love, which is what you've done. So,
yeah,
like,
you just can't
respect that.
Thank you, man. You just can't ever lose sight of the fact of why you do this. It's love. You do it because you love doing it. And there's certain times where when pursuing these unorthodox paths that you look at this immediate step and it's not necessarily the creative part that you love doing, but you have to feel, think about, this is you supporting you being able to be creative. So, you know, doing, like, spending a lot of hours on the road. Like, I just drove from Salt Lake City to Portland, Oregon. That's a 12 and a half hour drive.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It sucked. But you have to do what you have to do. Just it's akin to getting up at like 9 to 5, doing your 9 to 5, waking up at like 6 in the morning, dealing with traffic, dealing with another hour, getting back home. It's what you have to do in order to live out your life. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing. Don't dream your dreams. Do them. You know what I mean? And that's what you've done. You've released a new album. It's amazing. I really am enjoying it.
Thank you, man.
Not just me gassing you up. It's great. So you can check that out on Bandcamp. Yes, also, I was going to ask
Spotify, all iTunes Music.
iTunes Music as well.
Yeah.
I haven't got my album on iTunes Music, so that's something else for me to look at in the future.
Yeah,
but I was gonna say as well, you've been doing this for a long time, right?
Because
you were saying you've only just managed to, like, you know, get free of the part-time jobs and, like, do your thing for, like, full-time, basically, and put that drive in.
Yeah.
So, like, what you said, like, you got to keep it real to what you had at the start. Like, what did you have at the start? What made you, like, think, right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna start doing it.
Like full-time?
Yeah.
It just kind of happened because, you know, you just can't go back to my job, like, every 3 months, you know what I'm saying? Like, every 2 months, like, you know.
Damn.
So you just have to just kind of take that leap and hope that you don't land on your forehead in the shallow water.
Yeah. But, so, like, even to get to this point, like, I was listening to songs on your SoundCloud, and I stumbled across this song, Preach, which I was like, oh, is this off the new album? And it's, like, was released, like, 4 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So how have you, like, developed in that time? Like, how have you been, like, changing your style? How have you been, like, promoting and stuff? Like, are you the same Rocky that, like, submitted, like, that released Preach? Or have you, like, developed a lot since that time?
I've definitely developed a lot from an artistic standpoint, from, you know, just my own personal philosophies. You know, just hearing Preach is just a different iteration of Rocky Tyrae.
Yeah.
It's just a younger version of myself. I was very candid about, like, certain people in my family. I don't necessarily think that I would take that approach nowadays. but, you know, still unapologetic about the type of music that I create because it's how I felt at that particular time.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some certain questions that I answered, questions that I thought were rhetorical when I released that song Preach, you know, a few years back, that I've since found throughout, or answered since my own, since, you know, through my own personal discovery and walking my own path. And shout out to Felly Music for doing the beat, Matt Rich for the cuts, and Kearney Thomas.
Kearney Thomas? Who's that?
Woo!
Yeah, this is
the guy on here.
Yeah, I got it on here. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I'm doing, man. I got to finesse. I got to get the tracks on. This is actually Preach, which was Felony Music produced it, and this was like 4 years back.
He did a lot of work with like Rampage from Flip Mode.
Oh,
and like he did some cuts with like Young Buck.
Oh,
like G Unit Young Buck.
Oh, that,
do,
man.
Do, I'm a soldier, and I'm told you. See, that's that same Felony Music, you know what I'm saying?
Damn, so, I didn't even know that. That's man.
He's talented, man. So,
dude,
yeah.
So, I mean, well, this was 4 years ago, but you've just released The Dichotomy, so, like, I don't know, man. Like, you've been doing it a long time, and, like, has your attitude to touring changed as well? Because you're on a tour now. Is it easier, or...
It's a lot easier. Like, the first couple times going on the road, I released this, I think one of the first times I've been on the road was around this era, Preach, and it was such a daunting, like, intimidating, just scary thing.
Yeah.
Just to be out there, basically, it's your ass to the wind, and, you know, like, you really have no name. I just started interacting with the blogs, like, not a lot of DJs were familiar who I was as an artist, and, you know... And, you know, it's just still finding a way to be professional. I had no media training on showing up cussing people out and stuff. I wasn't doing all that shit. But
nah.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, my approach...
Hey, yo, fuck Wells Fargo.
Hey, fuck Wells Fargo.
Hey, what? Dude, but it's funny, though, because I got your, like, when Michael Rushton, shout out to Michael Rushton.
Lord Diamonds.
And Rob as well, Lord Diamonds. Like, they put me onto you because they were like, oh, our buddy's in, like, town, so do you want to, like... Because we had them on the show, and they gave me the press pack, and, like, I was like, whoa, this guy means business. Because, like, Rob and Michael, I love them, but they just sent me, like, Bandcamp, and they were just like, hey, man, we'll come on.
Yeah, we just did a couple dope shows.
You got a press pack and everything. You had an image and, like, a summation of the culture is back and all that shit.
Yeah, man.
You definitely come up on that, man.
Yeah, you know, and, like, the whole thing is... We live in an industry where we operate in an industry where it's just inundated with artists and DJs and producers, and, you know, you have to find a way to be independent because, you know, they don't do artist development nowadays. You have to be self-sufficient, you know, and people tell me, like, people who I've conducted business with, they'll say things like, you know, like, you already have this hustle and all this, and it's like though, shit, it's kind of inherent. You have to do it.
You
it's
gotta, okay. you gotta, yeah.
You have to do it. It's just not gonna be heard. Like, you know, you have to get out there, be your own manager, be your own booking agent. You have to be your own promotion agent. Your own, I do have distribution through SoulSpasm now. Shout out SoulSpasm.
Woo!
But, you have to distribute your own music too. You know, you have to run your own social. You have to basically, you're everything. You have to be a master of all trades, not just a jack. You have to learn how to juggle everything and still find a way to be creative. And for some people, they're able to do it. For others, they're not necessarily able to keep up with it.
Right.
And, it's a necessity, though.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but you've been doing it for a while. You've been doing it for a minute. So
yeah.
I want to just, like, you know, like, just thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you being here. So when's your next date? What's going on?
So next date is going to be over in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh.
And I have some other dates in specific areas. I don't know if I'm really allowed to say that. It's kind of nearby. How does that work? They're going to find me anyways.
You're allowed to promote anything. Like, okay. It's all good.
So I had a really interesting experience coming across the border. They harassed the fuck out of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, shit.
I think it's like I was touring my own car, and they're like, so why do you have your own vehicle? Because it's cheap.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like, you know, people drive cars sometimes.
And I understand. It's like crazies nowadays, and a lot of people running from Trump, myself included.
Yes. Yeah.
And
everyone's coming to Canada to try and get away from that.
So I think they're trying to, like, I don't know. But I have some dates coming up in Nelson and Vernon on the 6th and 7th.
Six and seven.
So just look towards the Culture's Back site for that. But before then, I'm going to be back in the States. I have Moscow, Idaho on Saturday on the 3rd, followed by Great Falls, Montana on the 5th. And then I'll be back in the good B.C.
Ooh.
In Nelson and Vernon, respectively. And
nice.
Then I'm going to take it back down to the States and wrap up my solo end of the tour before I pick up some stuff, my man Landon, and then Acrobatic after that.
Damn, you rattled all those off. I was trying to find tour dates, and you just rattled them off. That's pretty sick.
It's on theculturesback.com. I'm adding new dates as we speak. So
nice.
If you are a promoter or somebody who harasses promoters ad nauseum, you already know what to do with those open dates.
Dude, the Culture's Back. You got to hit it up. So the dichotomy of Rocky Tirade is out. You got to cop it. It is fucking great.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
It's Hippity Hoppity Brigade approved. So it's all good, man. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man.
And
I just want to shout out everybody that's been a part of the creative process of the album. There's too many to list off right now. But thank y'all for doing it. I do want to take the time to say that my man, Scott David, who did the actual artwork, that's the name of the artist, because people tend to ask me who did the cover.
It's cool.
Tirade Tidbit, that's actually a painting. It's a big-ass painting.
Oh, shit,
so
really?
So if you have the actual artwork, the high-quality file, zoom in as far as you can.
Ooh.
You see, like, the crazy paint brushes paint strokes and stuff.
That's sick. Well, you can copy it on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp. That's why I've been bumping it, and it is pretty good. So check it out. The Dichotomy of Rocky Tirade on Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You very much.
Thank you. Culturesback.com. All my social media is on there. Peace.
Woo.